And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
All right, good morning, everybody. This will be our, it's usually post-game live chat. Yesterday wasn't a real game. We had stuff to do. We were waiting on the announcement. I guess by the time the Browns ended, we knew it was going to be Houston. We thought it would be Saturday, but we weren't sure. So now we know. So this will be Civilized Barking, our live chat. Don't have the exact content schedule for the week, but we know you guys are excited. You should be. This has been fun. And Jason, let's start big picture here. Like, who knows, right? And I have a fair level of confidence. I would caution people against overconfidence this week. But this team is equipped to make a run, and there should be urgency. And that has nothing to do really with quarterback uncertainty. You know, the Browns have created some magic, right? And they have obviously overcome adversity. They've obviously proven better, mentally tougher, more cohesive, more adaptable than previous teams. And you just don't know when this stuff is going to happen. Right? This isn't a league where 2 weeks ago was a long time. And they've proved that even in winning 11 games, right? But so not to say now or never, or not that you want anybody to play like the world's on their shoulders, because that usually leads to bad results. But if there's going to be a January to remember, you know, it seems like this one, and I feel like that there's a real chance that the Browns can at least get to the second game and just be a team that nobody wants to have to play against.
Well, I'll go a step further. I was talking to my wife last night, and my son qualified for like regional swimming championships in Cincinnati February 4th. I'm like, well, that's good, because if the Browns go to the Super Bowl, that's their week off. So that's how far out we're planning this, that I'm planning, and my daughter's birthday is that weekend. So we're building our family schedule around the Super Bowl this year, which I'm pretty sure, other than booking a cruise a couple of years ago, foolishly, around the Super Bowl dates, I think that was the Freddie year, and I'm an idiot for that, or I don't remember now. I've never worried about January and February until now. This team is real. They strike fear in the heart of, I believe, every other team in the AFC. The AFC is so good. I was watching that Miami-Buffalo game last night. I mean, there's just, Kansas City is still Kansas City. I don't care what anybody says. This is a really good AFC, but I fully expect the Browns to go into Houston and win that game. They're favorite, right? Didn't you say they're 1.5 favorites?
Yeah, it's up to 2.5 as of this morning. Yeah.
Now you know this stuff better than I do. You follow this much closer than I do. How rare is that to be a road favorite in the playoffs?
I would say fairly rare. Now, not extremely rare, because of they do use the division system, right? So you will have flat out stronger teams. And, you know, the Texans are the first team ever, Jason, with a rookie coach and rookie quarterback to win a division. So, you know, people are looking and saying, and obviously the Browns were up 36-7 there just 3 weeks ago. Now, without CJ Stroud, that's a completely different game, right? But yeah, no, I was not surprised that they're favored, and I do think that they'll win. Look, what's the strongest unit on the field? It's the Browns defense, right? And back when we didn't know who was going to be the quarterback week to week for multiple reasons, we would just say, this defense can drag them there, and this defense can make the Browns an annoying opponent that absolutely no one wants to see in a one-and-done situation. That was before the offense revved up. And, you know, against this Texans defense, now multiple guys were missing for various reasons. Amari Cooper just set a franchise record, with 265 yards, and inside Flacco can throw it to fucking Galveston, right? And they can run under it and go. And resting guys was the right thing. Having everybody ready, Obo being back is potentially a huge deal. You know, Jerome Ford getting a week with his legs, Amari Cooper getting 2 weeks with his legs, even Njoku, who is still young. Like that should be a big deal. So don't throw it to the other team. Make your kicks. You know, those are real concerns, right? In an even up game, the Browns are better. So one thing the Texans have been really good at is winning the turnover margin. And the Browns have won in spite of not being really good at that. They've created a bunch more as the season's gone along. They haven't really won the turnover margin. I think it's only 14 all year, the lowest in the league, the Texans turn the ball over. And I think Stroud is like the first rookie, something like that, to have, or maybe the highest percentage ever in terms of interceptions to touchdowns for a rookie, something like that. He's been good. Can the Browns pressure him and force him into mistakes? Yes. You know, his best receiver or second best receiver, Tank Dell, is lost for the season. They had two other guys, veteran guys who are journeymen, but, you know, have helped them all year, didn't play last week. And that was a playoff game for them. So that tells me those are real injuries, right? That this wasn't week 18's guys sitting out. So, you know, they have it going with Stroud and Nico Collins. They found something with Devin Singletary, who was really just a guy, just a backup in Buffalo. And they will have much better defensive personnel. But I just see a Browns team that can score enough and then turn it over to that defense to either, you know, build the lead that you protect or get you out of jail, which they've done really with few exceptions all year long.
Real quick, it came up in Kevin's post game, and I know it was sort of a little bit of a talking point, although I think most people understand it, about if you want to keep the rhythm or if you want to rest guys. And Batonio told me on his way out that he hasn't felt this good since week one. So that's reason enough right there that they made the right call and sitting all those guys. Obviously, Joel's had the back a little bit here and there. But he said he feels great to get all those guys off their feet for the week, especially the linemen, is huge. So that was absolutely the right call. Hopkins, do you think there's any chance he can go?
I don't believe so. I don't believe there's a plan. There's a thought that he's going to play. So
is he done?
I think on several guys, they're not going to know. Yeah, well, I think Kevin has framed it as week to week, but I think it was always multiple weeks. So there's going to be some guys that they legit don't know for a couple of days, but the vibe I get is that Riley Patterson is the kicker until further notice. So those guys have all been in there working around the clock. I think that was the exact quote that Amari used yesterday. But yes, anybody who complains about yesterday or sitting guys is just someone looking for something to complain about, right? Like, you needed Batonio, Teller, Cooper, Garrett. You needed all those guys. I don't even think Miles practiced one day. I think he suited up for practice one day last week. You know, you need him fresh. Potentially Obo getting back, Za'Darius having a week, you know, JOK, all of those guys. I mean, this has been a grind. So having those guys back is huge, and there's absolutely zero reason to argue or complain about that. So Delpit is eligible this week, and I truly don't know. 10 or so days ago, I got off the record, probably not, but the door was not closed on him. So we will see on that. Ronnie Hickman and D'Anthony Bell have played well. Now, would you rather have Delpit? Sure. I think with Thornhill with the calf lingering, I'm not sure if you can count on him being back at any point. So we'll see. So that probably makes Delpit more important. Thornhill's a guy that, I mean, he's not made many plays for the Browns this year, but he's played in a lot of big games. And it was that pedigree and that range that brought him there. So, you know, having your corners healthy. Newsom was never going to play last week, guys. I don't think it's a major injury. I think they expect Greg Newsom to be on the practice field tomorrow. I think that kind of covers all of the bases there. So, you know,
what about? Yeah, I was just going to say, we talked about it yesterday. You think Pierre Strong is a big deal? How significant do you think is the Tillman Strong situation?
Well, Tillman, you know, it's two separate ones. I mean, Tillman plays receiver starter snaps. Now, he doesn't do much, but you know, that would bump up David Bell. And listen, David Bell did it yesterday in the scrimmage, and David Bell has been a key figure in two of the biggest wins all year, the Niners and Jacksonville. So if they need him, they trust him to get to the right spot, and we'll see if he does. Elijah Moore getting back, I think, is a much bigger deal, and I think you'll see him out there playing like almost 100% of the snaps, especially if Tillman is out. And he's in a concussion protocol, so you can't really expect him to be cleared in 5 days. But Pierre Strong is one of the best, if not the best, special teams player that this team has. And even though his offensive touches are few, he's fast enough to make an impact in that. So you don't see a guy get carted off with a back injury. I'm just going to guess that he couldn't do it. Like, he couldn't walk. I was surprised when they announced back injury. I don't know the extent on that. They think Shelby Harris is going to be okay, and that's potentially a big deal. So I think that's all the injuries. And then again, like with Delpit, with Thornhill guys, like Wednesday or tomorrow's practice doesn't mean anything. That's a normal Wednesday practice. If you see those guys back for the second practice of the week, then they're probably going to be in. And now Delpit is a situation that he could be designated for return and then not actually activated this week if they want to get out and see. But I kind of got the vibe that the initial thought was more of 5-6 weeks, and this is only 4. So he is eligible, and we'll see there. You need both running backs, and I think they've done a nice job. I think, look, what did Flacco play? 5 games? So this is kind of a bye week, and we've seen Browns offenses in the past come out, right? The quarterback and the coach and AVP get together, and they start picking things out. And for Flacco's arm, it's incredible, but it really, Jason, has been his grasp of the offense. And obviously he's opened up pages of the playbook by being able to throw those deep ones that they couldn't before. But really, he should only benefit from looking and saying, okay, I feel more comfortable with this. We feel like we're going to get this look here, and I don't feel like it here. And they've proven good enough to overcome one interception. He can't go out and have a 3-interception game. But you got to live with it thrown down the field. And, you know, not to say that Amari will have 265 again or 165. But I think if you think the Browns are going to go score 24 or 28 on Saturday and win this game, you're probably looking at Amari Cooper. 12 targets, 14 targets, 6-8 catches, and certainly over 100 yards.
Ultimately, it probably doesn't matter, because if Flacco goes down, the season goes down. Who do you think the backup quarterback is on Saturday? I thought Jeff Driscoll going in had a chance to supplant PJ. I don't think Kevin trusts PJ. We've talked about it before. The turnovers are just, you can't trust that guy. Driscoll really didn't show a lot on Sunday. I was talking to a couple guys. It's like, hey, it's 1 week of practice. He's working with backups. Didn't have a whole lot of time. Do you think, and Kevin wouldn't answer it after the game. He wouldn't talk about it. Do you think Driscoll is the backup next week, or do you think they're going to stick with PJ?
I think Kevin's actions, forget his facial expressions, show that he wants PJ Walker nowhere near the field. So I could be wrong on that, because Driscoll's only been here a week and he wasn't exactly like, right. I think Driscoll's more likely to come in and run the 2-point conversion plays or the short yardage plays. Although I still think they'd probably more likely go to Harrison Bryant.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one. And the thing to watch too, guys, is they could, or they probably will, end up cutting whoever it's not going to be and try to bring that player back on the practice squad to create a roster spot for someone else. And in an ideal world, that someone else is Delpit. But you might need to bring up another receiver. You know, you're going to certainly need, if Pierre Strong doesn't play, a running back. And then that leads to, okay, where do we get now an extra safety to, if Thornhill doesn't play, or linebacker, to take these special teams reps. I mean, Strong's your best gunner. He's your primary kick returner. Now, Prochet plugs right in there and can do that, but it's the trickle down. It's the fall. So, like I said, you know, what does a Browns win look like? Well, obviously, it's Flacco throwing 285 and to Cooper. It's, you know, it's offensive balance, and then it's turning it over for the defense to close it. It's making your kicks. That's a concern. You probably, you know, the range is obviously open to playing here. In the dome, because you would think the second week in either Baltimore or Buffalo, you're going to be playing in shit weather, more than likely. But the early forecast for Buffalo Pittsburgh is gusts up to 55 miles an hour. So in that regard, this draw is good. So and again, guys, I know we're kind of new here on Browns playoffs, since this is the fourth time in 25 years since the team came back. It's not a true bracket. If the Browns win and the home teams win otherwise, they will play in Baltimore next week. But Baltimore will play whoever the lowest seeded team is. So if the Steelers or the Dolphins were to win, then those teams would go to Baltimore and the Browns would go to the highest remaining seed. So, you know, no one expects the Steelers to win, but no one expects the Steelers to be here. And then Miami, you know, they're a dangerous team. They played KC close the first time. It's going to be -6 degrees there. So we'll see how that goes. The Chiefs are certainly vulnerable. But I agree, Jason, like, and I want to say this too, guys. I think the Browns are the only team in the AFC that can beat the Ravens. It doesn't mean that they will. And it's certainly, you know, if that is the game next week, the Ravens are going to be a touchdown favorite, and that's going to be right. But I think they're the only team that can do it because of this defense, the way it's built to keep up and frustrate Lamar, and because the key to the Ravens' defense is those linebackers that are so freaking fast, and the Browns have the guards to get on them. They do. So that's what I think. Again, it's not a given the Browns get there. It's not a given that's the matchup. That's what I think. So we're going to take you, you know, I'm going to have a piece for tomorrow looking at the Texans, what they're about, you know, what, if anything, you learned from playing against Case Keenum, what the Browns can carry over, blah, blah, blah. You know, but again, it just comes down to, you know, don't melt with missed kicks or turnovers or penalties, and get the rush and make Stroud get rid of it. And so we'll see. When they had Tank Dell and Nico Collins healthy, they were rolling. Collins missed a couple of games, but he's been on a tear. He had like 190 yards on Saturday night when they beat the Colts. He's a big, fast guy, third-year guy. He was one of those guys that was probably always a developmental guy, and he was waiting for a real quarterback, like a lot of receivers are. Right? Why has Amari Cooper been smiling for a month now? So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I really think with the way Njoku and Cooper are going, the Browns will score enough points, and between Garrett and whoever else on the defense, they'll make a play. Anything else we want to cover here, Jason, before we get to a couple questions?
No. I lost my connection and swooped back in. I just got back in. So let's take a question or two and get out of here.
Yeah, so I think we've kind of touched on it here. Ben asked, biggest concern for the Browns, you know, that would be the turnovers. That's where the Texans have kind of made their hay, is one of the league's best turnover margins and the fewest actual turnovers. The Texans can score, so we will see. But I think, you know, with the Browns' defense and the way that they're capable of scoring now in a hurry, throwing it vertically, they didn't have Will Anderson, their rookie pass rusher, in the first game. Their most consistent pass rusher all year, Jonathan Greener, got hurt on like the third play of the game. Their starting corner, Steven Nelson, got hurt on the second drive of the game. And Jimmy Ward, their veteran safety, got hurt on like the second or third drive of the game. So did all of those things contribute to Cooper's big day? Yes. Was Flacco still just throwing it a mile and Amari was running under it and, you know, other guys were getting involved? Yes. I think we're all happy as hell just to see Elijah Moore back in practice and back in uniform after that scary concussion that forced him to spend the night in the hospital. But him being fully cleared is a big deal because he'll be able to practice this week. You know, we saw early in the year the Browns trying to force him the ball, and it just wasn't working. For whatever reason, it's usually reasons. It just wasn't a fit, and there was all sorts of rhythm problems. And this team couldn't get David Njoku the ball for 6 weeks, right?
Yep, yep.
You take away September, and David Njoku is Ozzie Newsome on turbo speed. look at these ridiculous numbers. What Cooper and Njoku have done over the last month with Flacco as the quarterback is really impressive, and playing in a dome is only going to help them put up those numbers. So, you know, I still think Njoku's more likely to catch it triple covered, falling down with his eyes closed. But he has made more catches. And man, when he gets a little space, he's hard to tackle. And that's what they wanted to get to. So, and again, defensively, you're not going to have everybody, but you should have most of your guys back. All right. I wanted to say this too. I'm going to write about this for earlier in the week. Let's go back a little bit here, Jason. You know, the number one thing that ruins offseason analysis is actual games and results, right? But I think it was a fair thought to say, hey, if Jim Schwartz turns out to be this team's best offensive acquisition or offseason acquisition, they're going to have a chance to be pretty good. And he wouldn't have done it without also getting Dalvin Tomlinson, right? And other guys have stepped up. And Zadarius and Oboe, obviously, too. But, like, he's been really good. And since week one, they've done what they have to do. And again, it hasn't been perfect. They've given up big plays. They've given up points. But in all but one or two cases, they've delivered. And I think the resilience they showed in the Chicago game, the Jacksonville game, very different circumstances. But, you know, at times when it wasn't perfect and the defense needed a stop, they always got it. And I think Schwartz kind of saw that not as the culmination, but as the proof of like, we got this really going. And Emerson's healthy. Again, I'm expecting Newsom to be healthy. They've been playing Ward at 50% or 60% or less since he came back. It's going to be tough. They're going to be a hell of a matchup for the Texans to face on Saturday.
Can't wait for it. We'll both be there. And we'll pot about it after the game.
Yeah. So we'll have you covered all week long, guys. Appreciate you listening, reading. We got work to do. Like I said, I'm writing about Schwartz. I'm going to dive deeper here these next few hours into some Texans stuff. And then everything has moved up a day. So the Browns Wednesday practice, Wednesday injury report, all of that stuff will be tomorrow. You know, Amari, Joel, Miles, they don't practice on Wednesdays. That should change this week, you know. But again, the Wednesday and Thursday ones are the ones to watch. Delpit being cleared to return is a maybe. It doesn't mean he'll be back, but we'll see on that. I wouldn't expect Hopkins. And then you kind of see and hope the other guys all get back, that everybody came out of yesterday and last week ready to go. And they thought that there might be a Saturday game. They wanted to have everybody ready. It's technically the players' off day because that's collectively bargained, but they're in the facility today. They're getting ready to work. And obviously it's not all hands on deck with a team that's lost this many guys over the course of the year, but they're going to be really healthy for what they got outside of a couple places, and we'll see where it goes. So thanks for listening. Enjoy it. We have. Talk to you soon.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.